Good morning again. It's okay if I move this a little bit. Good morning again to each and every one of you. I felt like I'm sitting here and hearing some of the selections of the songs. The Lord just confirmed what He laid on my heart. And then Brother Solly gets up and he gave you a sneak peek into the message. So, that song from every stormy wind that blows. You know, sometimes storms come to our houses too. And there's some houses that prevail and come out on the other side. There's others get swept away down the stream. And so, if you, this morning, maybe a little bit of a different message on the home, but I see a lot of young families here, and my goal is to maybe equip you for the future of things that will come to your house. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. I've titled the message this morning, Some Man Is You. Some Man Is You. And so let's read Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses was faithful, as Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? And so I just want to focus a little bit on verse 4. For every house is builded by some man. And this morning, I'm not talking about a physical house we live in. I'm talking about your children. That's also considered a house. Your family, you and your wife and your children, that's a house. That's a household. And so every man, that some man is you. If you're here today and have children, that means you are a father building a house. Not a physical house to live in, but your family is a house that you're building. And every house is builded by some man, right? By some man. And so, and some man is you if you're a father, if you have children. And if you're planning on getting married someday, that some man is you. Maybe you're just newly married, but that if you have a desire to get married someday, some man is you. It's you today. And so, what type of house are you building? Brother Solly just shared Isaiah 66 there and shared his thoughts. Or what house are you planning on building? Many of us in here, I'm sure, are very skilled in building a physical house, right? There's many of you, I know many of you in here do have built houses, and some still do build houses, and you're very skilled at it, right? I mean, we can admit that. Many of us are skilled carpenters. And so, and we know all the things that are involved. We know the things that people desire in these houses. We know what type of cabinets to put in. We know what type of flooring. We know what type of paint schemes to put into them. We know what type of countertops to put in. We know what to put in to these houses that the people buy them and want them and like them, right? But do we know what type of house God likes? Do we have that down pat like we have the physical houses? And so what house are we building with the souls that are precious to God? Turn with me to Psalms chapter 128. Psalms 128, we're just going to read, it's six verses there, and I'm just going to read the whole chapter real quick. It says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." And so here again is a promise. If we fear the Lord and walk in his ways, and we know what type of house he wants, and he wants us to build, he says, "Yea, thou shalt see the children's children and peace upon Israel." And so again, a promise. Psalms 144:12 says that our sons may be as plants growing up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. And now this is a house I desire and am endeavoring to build. This isn't talking about outward beauty and dolling up. This is talking about an inward beauty that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in him and in his ways. And Psalms 127 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Then he goes on to say, "It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep." Then he says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth." And then he goes on to say, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And so the Lord wants to build our houses if we let him. And then every house is builded by some man. What does your house look like today? Does it resemble Psalms 144:12, what I just read, that your sons maybe as plants growing up in their youth, and your daughters polished cornerstones after the similitude of a palace? And so with that, turn with me. My heart today is to equip all of you to build your house. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 9 through 15. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And so God will labor with us to build our house. God desires... It says we are laborers together with God. God will help us. His grace is sufficient. Then he goes on to say, verse 10, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Take heed how you're going to build your house. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by his fire. And so we see here in verse 9 that God will help us build our house, and if we let him and walk with him. And in verse 10, it encourages us to take heed how we build. And then I want to focus a little bit on verse 13. And then it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so, of what sort is your house? What sort is it? See, God tests us as Christians to see if we're true or not. The scriptures teach us that God tries us. Fire, when you see the word fire like this, this is talking about trials that come. You know, as we build our house and things, there's trials going to come. And so it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. You know, I know many of you have went through trials, you know, and the day has declared it, you know, that you have been faithful. But there's others that the trials also came and it declared, and it was manifest of what type of house they were building. And so God's going to test you to see what sort of house you're building. And with that, you know, that God tries us, I'd like to turn to just a couple verses to Deuteronomy chapter 13 to show you this. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth or testeth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And so here, if someone comes, God is saying, even if someone comes and gives you a sign or a wonder, and it comes to pass, you shouldn't just go after him. God is more interested in you looking at his word and obeying his word, because here God says that he lets those things happen to test you or prove you to know whether you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And you're not going to run after that sign or wonder. You know, the scripture says in Revelations that when the Antichrist comes, he's going to be able to call fire down from heaven like Elijah did. But he's not of God. He's an Antichrist. And so God's more interested that we love the Lord our God and keep his word over a sign or a wonder. And so God tests us in other ways also to see if we love him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And so the fires and the trials weed out the false from the true. Christians, as Christians, you are going to be tried. We go to Matthew, your house will be tried. We go to Matthew chapter 7. Very familiar passage. In verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so here we have rock and sand. One house was built on rock, the other one was on sand. We have the same storm come to both of them. We have the same judgment come to both of them. We have the same testing come to both of them. We have the same thing come to both houses. So just because you're a Christian, you're not exempt from the testings and trials and the fires that come. Both of them went through the same storms. And so what I'm sharing here, that as you're building your house, you're going to face storms in life, and the storms are going to do either one thing or the other. God's testing you to see if you're true or not, and if you're going to stand, or if you're going to be swept downstream and see if you're building on sand. Here's a quote: two people endure the same hardship. One grows bitter, the other wiser. The difference is never the event, only the interpretation. I'll read it again. Two people endure the same hardship. One grows bitter, the other wiser. The difference is never the event, only the interpretation. The interpretation is how you respond to the testing that's going to come. That's the interpretation of it. And so, now I would like to illustrate two fathers in the scriptures who both built houses. Judgment came to both, the same storms came to both, the same trials came to both houses, and the fire revealed of what sort it is. And the first one we have is Noah. In Hebrews 11:7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And I'd like to read that account in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and just to see what Noah was living in, what kind of environment Noah was living in, and what type of environment he was building his house. He had three sons. Verse 1 of chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination of his heart was evil continually. Just think about that. Evil continually, continually, on and on and on. Every thought that came was evil, wicked. This is what God saw. This is the environment that Noah and his sons, Noah was building his house. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And so Noah lived in a time that would be very difficult to raise a family in. He was alone. He was surrounded with wickedness. He had no like-mindedness. He probably had no fellowship, no one to encourage him. Noah's families were the oddball in the community or world back then. I'm sure the word went out around about this guy and his three sons building this big ark on dry ground, and it never rained before. They have been working on this thing now for 25 years. Can you imagine? 25 years. We would get, I know I would get a little tired of working on a physical house, same house for 25 years. I'm the type of guy after, you know, if I do one, you know, from turnkey, start to finish 5-6 months, I'm just ready to be out of that place. But here, imagine 25 years already. He must be a wacko. He's not fitting into society. Hey, did you hear about that guy, Noah? Him and his boys have been working on this boat for 65 years now. Now 85 years. I'm sure he was a talk of town. You know, and like maybe his sons, I don't know, working on the boat day after day. Dad, we're tired of this. Can't we do something else? Can we go have a little fun with everybody else and enjoy life a little bit? Very likely they were being laughed and mocked at. Boys, don't listen to your dad. Come on, let's go. Let's have a little fun. You know, this went on for 100 years, and yet Noah was able to give clear direction and teaching that his son stuck with him and able to have his son's hearts. And then the rains beat on his house, and his house stood firm. The rains beat. The storm came, and his house stood firm. It floated, and it passed the test. It went through the judgment. And I believe Noah was working on building his house long before he started building the ark to have his son stick by him. And so the storm came to his house. And it revealed what sort his house was made of. And so when the storms come to your house, what is going to be revealed? What's going to be revealed when they come? Now let's look at another father and what judgment revealed in his house. In Genesis, chapter 19, I think I have the wrong, but I'm thinking of Lot here. He lived in wicked times, just like Noah, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was with Abraham, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Anyway, I'll just, the first mistake he did, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And in Genesis 19, verse 1, here we see Sodom actually moved into the city or at the gate of Sodom. First, he pitched his tent towards Sodom in verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom and even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And so we see here that he's not being very wise. First, he pitched his tent, and now we read that he's actually inside the city where there's much wickedness. And then in Genesis 19, verse 12, the men are warning Lot here that judgment is coming. The storm is coming, and his house is going to be basically, you know, is going to be tested here. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here but any besides son-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great. before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hands, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So just like Noah here, Lot was warned that the storm is coming to his house, judgment is coming. He had opportunity to get all his sons, grandchildren, daughters, sons-in-laws. He had opportunity, just like Noah, to get him out of there before judgment came. And he was told, get your family out. And I want you to notice in verse 14, Noah went to his son-in-laws here, and it says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You know, last night we talked about teaching. Apparently, Lot never opened his mouth. You know, they're like, are you joking? It says here, he was as one that mocked unto them. Like he was telling them a joke. Come on, Lot, we never heard you say this thing before. What crawled into you? This isn't the dad we know. I mean, God's going to destroy this city. And so Lot, if Lot would have been teaching his family, I believe precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, the outcome would have been totally different, I believe. And I also want you to notice here, it says, and while he lingered, all of a sudden he's realizing the storm is coming, and nobody's going with me. Just that awful thought, the storm is coming, judgment is coming, my daughters, my son-in-laws aren't coming with me. Just the agony of that. And he's lingering, what can I do? What can I do? And all of a sudden the angels just grab him, his wife, and two daughters and take him because they know that they got to get going. The storm is coming. And then we know the story that even his wife did not stand make it out of the storm, his daughters either, and it was an awful ending. And yet, you know, the Bible says that Lot vexed his righteous soul. I don't understand all that, but that's what the scripture says. His righteous soul was vexed there. And the scripture there, what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is it says, yet if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so Lot, he lost everything. And according as I understand the scripture, God called him a righteous man. I don't understand all that. But his work was tried. Every man's work shall be manifested, and the day shall declare it. And so Lot's work was declared. It was manifested what type of house he built. And so the storm beat on his house, and it was revealed it was built on sand. And every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What sort is it going to be revealed of your house when the trials come? What are the trials that come to your house going to reveal? The fire will come to your house. The Lord will test you to see if you're true. I'm just going to be very open and honest here. In my 21 years of being a Christian, I've seen way too many houses built on sand. When the fires came, it revealed sand foundations. And And so I'm sharing this. There's many young families sitting in here. My goal is that to equip you that don't think it's strange that there's trials and testings going to come to your house, because God is going to send them, and it's going to be revealed of what sort you're building your house on, whether it's the rock or the sand. You know, there's it can come in many ways. It can come through trials through the church. It can come through your children. A brother once shared with me, it's easy for brothers to have fellowship one with another when your children are small, but it's another story once your children become teenagers. What he means by that, the teenagers start revealing what sort of house you're building. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Our teenagers need guidance and directions just as much as their younger children. Can God say this about you, what he did of Abraham in Genesis 18:19? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken to him. Can God say that about you, that he knows that you will command your children after him? His children and his household after him. Can God say that about you? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you would like to. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Here's God speaking to Moses. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart in all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So, what I want you to take notice, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Many of us, our eyes have seen many wonderful works. We have seen the power of God. We have seen many souls get saved. And God has showed us, you know, especially when we were just new converts and just full of zeal, you know, to get to know God in such a way. And the word of God was just being opened to us and being revealed to our hearts. God showed us many things in those first days. And, you know, and I have heard parents make comments like this already. I used to think the way you do when my children were small. This is parents with teenagers. My question is, why are you forgetting the way you used to think? Why are you forgetting the way you used to think? Here God says, take heed, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. You know, especially the day thou stoodst before the Lord thy God in Horeb. You know, he was talking about the children of Israel when they stood before God in Horeb and God came and spoke to them. You know, I feel like God came to many of us in a special way and spoke many things to us, you know, concerning our children and giving us vision and direction for our families and the things we did not want for our families that many of us were involved in. And so my question is, why are you forgetting the way you used to think? You heard them from the Lord when you stood before him, when your eyes saw him, when your heart and conscience was tender towards the Lord. The word was being written on the tables of your heart. when you got converted. You had biblical convictions on truth of what a godly family is. And instead of standing on them and teaching them and imparting them to the children, like Timothy says, with all gravity, the children rise up and start to teaching the parents and start destroying biblical truths that the parents once stood for. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 3. We see God's plea in this. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and the women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge his people. God is saying here, he doesn't want children and women to rise up and to lead the father. He says the Lord stands up to plead. He gets off his chair. He's sitting and pleads with the men. Don't let the children rise up and destroy you, he says. And I'm going to just go a little further here. God also uses your own children to test your house to see what sort of house you're building on. God uses your own children. And so young families, it's like I said, you have young children now, but you know, children have a tendency to test you to see if you're really true on your convictions or not. Once they get teenagers and get a little older, and you know, that's okay. If we stand and we patiently teach them, it's okay. They ask questions, but it's an opportunity to teach. You know, about 10 years ago or so, God really opened my eyes to this. You know, we had two teenage daughters, and some of the friendships weren't healthy. Influence was wearing off. And one day my wife and I were like, what are we going to do? You know, it was a little shaky. The storms were there. And we decided that we are going to stand on what the Lord showed us. And when we stood before the Lord, when we got converted, the going got a little bit rough. Today, both of them say, thank you, Dad, Mom. See, they were teenagers. They didn't have their convictions formed. They need Dad and Mom's help to form their convictions. They're swayable. They're gullible, maybe you could say. I don't mean this in a degrading way at all, but it's reality. You know, there's peer pressure. They want to be like friends. Their convictions are not formed yet, and you as a parent need to stand firm and not let them sway you and help them form their convictions. Maybe there's other testimonies here that can relate to what I'm sharing. But your children will test you, I believe. It's okay to tell your son on Sunday morning, you aren't going to go to church like that with the hairstyle. It's okay to tell your daughter, she comes down dressed with the hairstyle or dressed in a way that's where your convictions are. We're not going like that. It's okay. Stand on your convictions. It's okay to tell your daughter it's not where our convictions are, where you're wearing your head covering this morning. It's okay. The tendency of for fathers and mothers is when you have teenagers who have some of their own ideas, you know, on things, to compromise on your convictions. Oh, I want to keep their heart. I want to keep a close relationship. You're afraid to just stand up and of what it might bring a little bit of conflict. But little But it's okay if that conflict comes a little bit, but it can be talked through and resolved. And so I'm just sharing here, you know, well, it's my child. I love my child. I don't want any tension that comes by talking about difficult things I'm seeing. And so my flesh wants to compromise. Bible says, deny the flesh and take up the cross. I've even heard this statement of parents: we would rather keep the hearts than stand on all the principles of truth we were shown. And today, the family has been swept downstream. If you do nothing, like Sally said, if you do nothing, it's going to be swept downstream when the storms come. And so you're not going to keep them anyway. They are leading you and taking you with them when downstream when that happens. There's a tendency for fathers and mothers to get weary and give in to the children's wants and not needs, than to stand fast. The scripture says, ye shall reap in due season if we faint not. You will reap in due season if you faint not. It's okay to tell your son or daughter you don't want them participating or doing things others are doing that you have convictions on as parents. Noah had to do that, I'm sure. And so this is my burden. What I am to share and have seen, this has happened over and over. Brothers and sisters get converted. Their children are young. They are having sweet fellowship one with another. They have the same biblical convictions and goals. And then the children get older and start making some of their own choices and decisions and start to tweak dad and mom and their convictions on biblical truth. A little tweak here, a little tweak there. And pretty soon you have strife among brethren because you have fathers who are endeavoring to have their children in subjection with all gravity like Noah and Abraham. And then you have fathers like Lot who is passive, and it brings strife and division. Abraham and Lot divided, separated because of strife. I've seen this happen over and over and over. And so I'm pleading with all of you in here, especially you young families. Don't let this happen to your family. You're having sweet fellowship one with another. The scripture says here that what we've been reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that the storms are going to reveal what sort of your house is made of. And so I plead with you, don't let this happen. Stand fast, stand firm on the vision and the convictions God has given you when you stood before the Lord, when your heart was tender and conscious before the Lord. In raising a family, there's no room for passiveness like Lot. If you are a passive father, you are building your house on sand, the storm is going to come and wash your house downstream into the world. You look at Eli. He was a passive father, and his house was destroyed in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Just another example. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. That sounds pretty scary. That the things that are going to happen is going to cause people's ears to tingle. That sounds like a major storm coming. In that day, I will perform against Eli all the things which have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth because his sons made themselves vile. And notice, and he restrained them not. The storm came and God destroyed them forever. Why? Because he restrained them not. And so a very sad story, and his house is judged forever. Another example of a passive father is David, a man after God's own heart. I believe David's in heaven with the Lord. But as you read through the scriptures, he failed his sons miserably. He was a passive father. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 13, you have Absalom. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. We all know the story of Absalom. He killed his brother because his brother raped his sister and he killed him. Verse 38, so Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there, notice, 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom. He was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. So David here had a desire to see his son. He was king. He could have sent messengers, go get him. But he was passive. He was passive. And then turn over to 2 Samuel 14, verse 28. Here's where Joab finally was able to get Absalom back to the city where David dwelt. And then, verse 28, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Now, King David, he knew that Absalom was here. He told Joab to bring him back. And so here you have David who longed to see him, but he was passive, and it was 5 years he didn't see his son. And we all know the end of Absalom. He finally rose up against his father. The storms came, and then David cried out and there in the battlefield, "Oh, Absalom, oh, Absalom." You know, he just cried out in agony. But it just seems like he would have had perfect opportunity to reconcile and to, but he was a passive father. He had a longing to see him. Another positive example of a father is Philip the Evangelist in Acts 21, verse 8 and 9. He had 4 daughters who were virgins. You know, they were morally pure and they were in the Word of God. You know, they were getting teaching. They were a blessing. Another positive example of a father who gave clear direction to his son is God the Father. Jesus says, "I always do those things which please my Father." A house that is built up on the rock, the foundation no other man can lay. You might say, what about the prodigal son's father? Was he passive or not? Didn't he leave his son make his own choices? Wasn't he a passive father? I say no, he was not a passive father. This son, he left the home to make his own path and decision. He didn't stay in the home and flaunt his ungodly ways and vex everybody around him with his ungodly deeds. Fellowship remained intact in the home. His father was not a passive father. I would like to for you to notice one verse there in Luke chapter 15, verse 29. Here, this home was in order. Everyone in the home was in subjection. Here's the elder son, even though it caused a few ripples when the prodigal came back. It says, and he, the elder son, answering, said to his father, "Lo, these years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid I might make merry with thy friends." Notice this, neither transgressed I at any time. That home was in order. The father was in authority and his house was under subjection. Neither transgressed I at any time. The things the prodigal son did were down away from home in a far country, away from authority in verse 13. Instead of doing these things while living under the authority's roof, and bringing division between brothers and sisters, a prodigal son, you know, he did his things out away. But when he came back in his father's house, he needed to be in subjection for his father to receive him. And so another area to address, I'd like to address here, there needs to be unity in between dad and mom, speaking the same thing to the children. Children growing up in a home where they know they will get the same answers from either parent with their questions, with their wants. I know of children who said, I know which parent to go to get what I want, to get the answer what I want. And brothers and sisters, if this is the way it is in your home is being built on sand, the storm is coming, and it will wash downstream because Jesus said so. Jesus said so in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Jesus says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Mark 3:25, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Luke 11:17, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. So Jesus forewarned you that if you, as a couple, are divided, your house is going, I can tell you right now, your house is going to be swept downstream. I know I can name you hands full of people right now, but I'm not going to. Where, you know, as we read there, it revealed, time revealed when the fires came that the house was divided, and today the house is swept downstream. And so my encouragement, for the sake of your children, be unified as husband and wife. I just know of too many situations where mom and dad have not been on the same page, and the children are today swept downstream. And Jesus says it will happen. We can't go against God. God forewarns us. And so I'd like to close here with a couple verses again that are what I read in the beginning here. You know, every house is builded by some man, and that some man is you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Every man's work, that every man today is you as a father, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Jesus said these words, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. And we've seen this in my 20 years. I've seen this happen. And so my plea with you today in sharing this is, you know, there's many young families here, to equip you to know that there's trials and testings coming, but you have God's promises that you can build up on the rock. If you do it God's way, when the storm comes, you're not going to be swept downstream, because a storm comes to both. And I'll close with the quote again. Two people endure the same hardship. One grows bitter, the other wiser. The difference is never the event, only the interpretation. So the storm is going to come. It's only how you handle it. And so I'm not exempt from storms, neither are any of you. And so my heart in sharing again this message is to equip you, to prepare you. If you're facing a trial with your son or with your daughter or a church struggle, know that it's God testing you to try you to see what your house is being built on. So thank you for listening. God bless. more of a sobering message, but it's real. I've seen it, been through some of it. I don't know what the Lord has in the future testings, but, you know, when I know these things, it helps me. So God bless.